Tonight we're going to look at 2 Timothy 4, 1 through 5, and talk about the preaching of worship. We've talked about music in worship. Tonight we're going to talk about the preaching in worship. Verse 1, chapter number 4, 2 Timothy. Paul, writing to Timothy, says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. And I would like for you to underscore these next three words. Preach the word. Not just preach, preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all long-suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things. Endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. And those were the words of the Lord, our God, to young Timothy through Paul. And all God's people said, amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I'm thankful for those who've come back tonight. Appreciate their faithfulness and their desire for the Word to know more of you. And I pray that you would feed them tonight, that they would not turn home without hearing from you and seeing you revealed in the scriptures and seeing truth and receiving it. And God, I pray the very word of God would be that which would be sweet to their ears and to their souls. Pray that you would do a work in leading us and guiding us biblically and what worship should be. Not according to the times and the traditions of the church, but according to your word. And we'll be grateful and thankful for what you'll do in this place for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I think that what we have learned about worship is that the worship of the church needs to be governed by the word of God. I hope we see that. That worship is just not something that we have the right or even the ability to do on ourselves, but it is divinely given to us in the Word of God. And I would want to remind you that maybe you don't know this, but the preaching of the Word of God is part of worship. It's not that we sing, and as we sing, we worship, then we stop singing and stop worshiping and listen to preaching. The entire service is to be a service of worship, including the singing, including the giving, and including the preaching. And the preaching is an essential element of the worship of the church. It is the proclamation of the Word of God that should be preached in such a way that would lead us to respond to His Word in worship. It is very much what the music does. The music presents Christ, and the response to that is worship, and the preaching is worship, and should be responded to in more worship. It is sad to say that when people are looking for a church, secondary matters often take precedence over the centrality of the preached word. People today in America are looking for churches that suit their music style. They're looking for churches that have various ministry programs for their children or for their family. Or they might just look for a congregational prominence, big church and large church. Those things have become more important than the preaching of the Word of God in the desires of people to find a church. And as a result of that, preachers and churches are faced with survival and success over faithfulness in preaching the Word. But the truth still is that the faithful preaching of the Word of God is the way that God saves the lost and sanctifies His saints. It is through the preaching of the Word of God that God still saves those who are lost and still sanctifies those that are His. Well, let me give you three things from the text tonight that I hope we can agree that should be in the preaching of the Word of God here from the pulpit of this church, whether I'm doing it or whether someone else is doing it. Let's begin by looking at the seriousness of preaching the Word. Preaching the Word of God is not something that should be taken lightly or handled in a trivial way. Preaching of the Word of God is serious. Notice what Paul says in verse number 1. I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom, preach the Word. So there is a charge by Paul to Timothy to preach the Word. Now, it is a solemn charge, right? Because this is going beyond the personal relationship that Paul has with Timothy. They enjoy a very good, a very intimate, personal relationship. This is not just one friend to another trying to encourage him to preach. This is a charge to preach the Word. And he wants Timothy, by including God and the Lord Jesus Christ, he wants Timothy and the church to know, because this is going to be read to the church, he wants them to know that the preaching of the Word of God is not Timothy's business or the church's business, it's God's business. I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing of His kingdom, preach the Word. The preaching of the Word of God, the proclamation of the Word of God is God's business. We need to handle it correctly and seriously. Timothy was on assignment from God to preach the Word. Now, I hope you don't misunderstand me with what I'm getting ready to say. The church may have called Timothy to be their pastor. The church may have hired Timothy to be their pastor. The church may pay Timothy to be their pastor. But the solemn charge of preaching comes from God, not the church. Amen? It comes from God the Father and Jesus Christ the Lord. So it is a solemn charge to preach the Word. It's a stunning charge. Now, I am sure Timothy, being a child, spiritual child of Paul, I'm sure that Timothy always wanted to preach in such a way that Paul would be pleased. That when Paul came to hear him preach, or Paul had heard about the church or whatever was happening, he knew that Paul's eyes were constantly on him and he wanted to please Paul. But what will keep Timothy accountable? What will keep Timothy in the Word, in the handling of the Word, and accountable in that when Paul is dead and gone? Because that's soon to come. When Paul's eyes are no longer evaluating Timothy's preaching, God's eyes will still be on Timothy's preaching. We are accountable to the handling of God's Word to God Himself. What a pastor is called to do is faithfully stand and preach the Word of God. And he will one day stand accountable to God and Jesus Christ for his handling of the Word of God. We are not to be consumed with success. We are not to be consumed with size. We are not to be consumed with celebrity. We are to be consumed with the preaching of the Word of God, knowing that we are under the solemn charge of God and Jesus Christ themselves. It is a very serious thing. Notice number two, the substance of preaching the Word. Now don't get too excited because that first point was short. He says, preach the Word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Now notice here quickly the subject of preaching. What should the preaching be? What does he say? Preach the Word. The subject of our preaching is the Word of God. Are you with me? Paul says, preach the Word. He doesn't say, tell heart-gripping stories. He doesn't say, share with the congregation your ideas. He doesn't say, make sure that you make your political ideas and stance evident to the church. He doesn't say, share your opinions. What does he say? Preach the Word. Because stories and ideas and political stances and opinions don't matter. The Word of God matters. What I think doesn't matter. It's what God says that matters. So the power of preaching rests in its content and not its function. In other words, it is not my preaching that makes the gospel work. It is the gospel that makes my lousy preaching work. Amen? Timothy did not have the liberty to choose the message. He must preach the Word. And the content of the message must be biblical. Now, preachers oftentimes get up and they read a text. They depart from the text. They say what they want to say and never return to the text. But the Word is to be preached. The content of the message is the Word. And the pulpit is not a place for motivational chats. I meant to bring, it's on my phone, but I meant to bring something I taped off the TV. Anybody know Callan Hurd? Is that how you say his first name? Callan Hurd? Callan Hurd, the Hurd? Callan Hurd. He's a sports talk show guy, and he's on the radio, and they have him on ESPN. I was watching it the other day, and he started talking about my good friend, Joel Osteen. So I immediately got interested. This is from a lost man, right? Has no religious desires in his heart whatsoever. But he's talking about Joel Osteen, and he says, listen, Joel Osteen's not selling God. He's selling hopes and dreams. He says, now, you may think he's selling God, but he's not selling God, because if he was selling God, I wouldn't listen. He's selling hope and dreams. He's a motivational, inspirational person. He's the Tony Robbins in the pulpit. I'm here to tell you, the pulpit is not the place for our motivational speeches. It is not the place for self-help advice. It's not the place for political speeches or scientific theories or this world's philosophies. Paul says, Timothy, preach the Word. It's not hard. It's not difficult to figure out what you should be preaching. Open up your Bible anywhere you want to open it up and preach the Word. Our problem today is that we have lost our confidence in the Word. There's no shortages of things to preach, right? 66 books, plenty of stuff to preach. Preach the Word. We are to preach the Word, and we're to preach it all. The full counsel of the Word of God. We're to preach the familiar text and the unfamiliar text. We're to preach the hard things and the easy things. Preach the Word. And you as a congregation should not accept anything except the preaching of the Word. Now, just because someone stands up and reads Scripture or mentions Scripture or references Scripture does not mean he's preaching the Word of God. He's not preaching the Word of God until or unless the point of his message lines up with the God-intended meaning of the text. We must explain the text. We must expound the text. We're not to use Scripture as a springboard to say what we want to say. And I think there are preachers who have to drag the text to the pulpit kicking and screaming all the way because it doesn't want to go where they're going to take it. Listen to me. If we misrepresent the text, we're taking people away from God and not to God. Now, I want to give you an example of that because I'm listening to preaching all the time and I heard this preacher preach from Isaiah 1, 17 through 20. Can you get to that screen and then we'll come back? I think it's one more. Okay. I want you to look at the text closely. It's a great text. Of course, it's in the Bible. They're all great texts. Verse 17. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, did I say Clemson? Though they be red as crimson, not orange as Clemson, they shall be as wool. If you be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. Great, great passage of Scripture, right? That's the text that the preacher read. And then he announced that he is going to preach on things that he did not have to ask God. Things that he doesn't have to ask God. I'm looking at the text and I'm going, okay. All right. And then he gives us several things that he doesn't have to ask God for. Typical independent Baptist stuff. He says that he will not have to ask God whether he's ever saved or not. He doesn't have to ask God if he's saved because he's experienced salvation and he's experienced the excitement of salvation. He doesn't have to ask God what scriptures to use. You know where that one's going. He doesn't have to ask God what songs to sing. It's the old songs, not the new ones. He doesn't have to ask what sanctuary to attend. Theirs. And he doesn't have to ask if he's doing the right kind of service for the Lord. Now, if all of what he said was true, and it wasn't, but we'll say that it was, he has done a gross mishandling of the text. Where is any of that in the text? Say amen. Now, it's fine to preach about assurance of salvation. It's fine to preach about music and things like that. We've done that. But this text has nothing to do with that. It's a mishandling of the text. We will have to stand before God one day and give an account. That's just an example of things like that. I like to put the text up. Wednesday night we're going to start doing some more of looking at the text in detail, because I want you to see the text. And I want you to see that every point I make comes from the text. The text has to drive the sermon, not the sermon driving the text. Look secondly here at the structure of preaching. I think that when Paul tells Timothy to preach the word, I think there's the element which he's talking about this word. Of course, you understand at this time it's the Old Testament scriptures. But I also think the idea could very well be, in addition to the written word, is preach Jesus Christ, for He is the Word. Who Christ is, what Christ has done for us in purchasing our salvation at the cross must be preached. Preaching is to proclaim Christ, not self-help, Christ, the crucified Christ. And the preaching of the Word is to be done every single time the pulpit is employed. The preached word is in season when everyone else says it's out of season. You with me? Preach the word when they, in season, out of season. Preach the word when they want to hear it, and preach the word when they don't want to hear it. That's what Paul's saying. Timothy, you preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season. When they are excited about it, preach it. When they can't stand it, preach it. You with me? Preach the word whether anybody responds to it or not. Don't stop being faithful to the preaching of the word even when your church is not being very fruitful. Preach the word when it seems to work. Preach the word when it seems not to work. And what we have to remember is this. The harvest doesn't come at the end of the service, it comes at the end of the age. The preaching of the Word of God will, Paul says, it will confront sin, rebuke, it will expose sin, reprove, it will help get on the right track, exhort, and it will discipline in doctrine, teach. The preaching of the Word will not work overnight. So here's the thing, don't just preach, but what's he say? Be patient. Be long-suffering. Don't expect overnight transformations. But preach the word Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, every week, every month, year after year. Preach the word, preach the word, preach the word. Be patient and watch God grow. Amen. We don't have anything else. Preach the word. And if we preach the word and we are patient and long-suffering in teaching and waiting for God to move, then we're demonstrating that we not only love the word, but we love people. Patience. Preaching. And I know other methodology will pack pews, but they don't make disciples. What makes disciples is the preaching of the Word. And I hope you will not accept anything else but the preached Word. Number three, the struggle of preaching the Word. Verse 3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, making full proof of thy ministry. Here's why preaching the word is so hard. Because, number one, of separation. Now, who do you think these are who will not endure sound doctrine? Who are these that who, after their own lust, heap to themselves false teachers? Who are these that, having itching ears, turn away from the truth and turn toward fables? Who are they? Well, they're unsaved people. But they're not unsaved people in the streets. They're unsaved people in the church. You with me? And their hypocrisy is evidenced by their unwillingness to endure sound doctrine. Now, I've always hoped that if you preach the word, it will draw people who want to hear the word. I believe that's true, don't you? If you preach the word, God, I think, will bring people who truly want the word. Paul says, if you preach the word, you'll run some people off. That's what Paul says. And can I say this? False teachers would not have a platform if it were not for the itching ears of those in the church. And just because many people file into the church doesn't mean the word is being preached. There could be a master ear tickler there, giving people what they want to hear instead of what they need to hear. Can I say this? If people want a fatted, or if people want a golden calf, there will always be a golden calf maker ready to meet the need. Why is it hard to preach the word? Because you watch people leave. You watch people exit the doors. It's hard. It's heartbreaking to watch that happen. It draws and it chases those who are not wanting that away. Then there's not only separation, but there's suffering. He says here, endure afflictions. Here's what people do. People will not endure sound doctrine. People will, after their own lust, heap to themselves teachers that will tell them and scratch their itching ears. And they'll turn away their ears from the truth and shall turn their ears to fables. You let people do what people are going to do, Timothy. But as for you, you endure afflictions. You with me? Let the crowds go where the crowds go. But for you, be a man, preach the word. Expect suffering. Expect hard times. Expect difficulties. Expect ridicule. Expect it, and then endure it. Keep doing the work of an evangelist. What is the work of an evangelist? The preaching of the good news of Jesus Christ. Keep preaching Christ. Keep preaching the Word. Fulfill your ministry, because anyone can start fast. Only the called of God will finish strong by enduring suffering. And here's where we come back to. God is looking for those who will worship Him in spirit and in truth. And so for there to be true, genuine worship of God, there must be the proclamation and the preaching of truth. And we have to ask ourselves, what are we interested in? Crowds? Size? Success? Or the worship of God? Timothy, I charge you before God and the Lord Jesus Christ. And you will stand one day and you will be judged by Him at the appearing of His kingdom. Preach the Word. Preach the Word. Listen, what I got to say ain't worth 10 cents. Do this. What I say ain't going to change a heart. What I say won't help you past your driving off this parking lot. But this word is God's word. It is powerful. It can help you. It can hold you. It can save you. It can sustain you. It is what you need. And sometimes its taste is awful. Sometimes it goes down hard. Oh, but it is what we need. Would be to God that men of God would stand and preach the word. But you don't understand, preacher, that doesn't work. It works with God. And that's the only one I'm really worried about. Amen? Because I have to stand one day, and I have to give an account for every sermon I preach. How did I handle the Word? It is a tremendous responsibility. Amen? And it is in my heart for each one of you to grow in Christ. It is in my heart for you to love Christ more and adore Christ more and praise Christ more and worship Christ more. It's in my heart. And the only way that I know to do that is to preach the Word. I just don't think guilt trips work. For a while. But if I can stoke those flames of your love and devotion and your appreciation of Christ, we're on the right track there. Amen? That's what I want for you. That's what I want for our church. And what we're doing here is out of season. But God said it's in season. What He told Timothy is still true today, is it not? Preach the Word. Preach the Word. Because it is God's Word that makes the difference. Amen? Don't accept anything else but the Word. Amen? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You. We love You. We marvel that You would even look our way. Love us, and we understand that we love You because You first loved us. We thank You for Your Word, and we pray that You would help us as a church, You would help us as a body of believers, that when we come together, our worship is biblical, our worship is faithful to the Scriptures, our worship is God-honoring, Christ-exalting, and our hearts are filled with joy, and we rejoice in the God that is our God. And I pray that all that we do here is the proclamation of Christ, the exaltation of God, the bringing forth to the face of your people your word in song and in sermon. It is the proclamation and the preaching of the word. And so I pray that you would bless that, that you would draw those here that would desire that, and that you would reduce the number that don't want that. And I pray that you would just speak to every heart, and God, that patience would reign for your glory. In Jesus' name and for Christ's sake, amen.